Swearing angrily, Harry spun around and set off around the pitch again, scanning the skies for some sign of the tiny winged golden ball. Ginny and Demelza scored a goal apiece, giving the red and gold-clad supporters below something to cheer about. Then Cadwallader scored again, making things level. But Luna did not seem to have noticed. She appeared singularly uninterested in such mundane things as the score, and kept attempting to draw the crowd's attention to such things as interestingly shaped clouds and the possibility that Zachariah Smith, who had so far failed to maintain possession of the quaffle for longer than a minute, was suffering from something called loser's lurgy.
70-40 to Hufflepuff,
barked Professor McGonagall into Luna's megaphone.
Is it already?
Said Luna vaguely.
Oh, look, the Gryffindor keeper's got hold of one of the beater's bats.
Harry spun around in midair. Sure enough, McLagan, for reasons best known to himself, had pulled Peeks's bat from him and appeared to be demonstrating how to hit a bludger toward an oncoming Cadwallader.
Will you give him back his bat and get back to the goalposts?
Roared Harry, pelting toward McLagan, just as McLagan took a ferocious swipe at the bludger and mishit it. A blinding, sickening pain, a flash of light, distant screams, and the sensation of falling down a long tunnel. And the next thing Harry knew, he was lying in a remarkably warm and comfortable bed and looking up at a lamp that was throwing a circle of golden light onto a shadowy ceiling. He raised his head awkwardly. There on his left was a familiar-looking, freckly, red-haired person.
"Nice of you to drop in," said Ron, grinning.
Harry blinked and looked around. Of course, he was in the hospital wing. The sky outside was indigo streaked with crimson. The match must have finished hours ago, as had any hope of cornering Malfoy. Harry's head felt strangely heavy. He raised a hand and felt a stiff turban of bandages.
What happened?
Cracked skull,
said Madame Pomfrey, bustling up and pushing him back against his pillows.
Nothing to worry about. I mended it at once, but I'm keeping you in overnight. You shouldn't overexert yourself for a few hours.
I don't want to stay here overnight,
said Harry angrily, sitting up and throwing back his covers.
I want to find McLagan and kill him.
I'm afraid that would come under the heading of overexertion, said Madame Pomfrey,
pushing him firmly back onto the bed and raising her wand in a threatening manner.
You will stay here until I discharge you, Potter, or I shall call the headmaster.
She bustled back into her office, and Harry sank back into his pillows, fuming.
Do you know how much we lost by? He asked Ron through clenched teeth.
Well, yeah, I do,
said Ron apologetically. Final score was 320-60.
Brilliant, said Harry savagely. Really brilliant. When I get hold of McLagan.
You don't want to get hold of him. He's the size of a troll, said Ron reasonably. Personally, I think there's a lot to be said for hexing him with that toenail thing of the prince's. Anyway, the rest of the team might have dealt with him before you get out of here. They're not happy.
There was a note of badly suppressed glee in Ron's voice. Harry could tell he was nothing short of thrilled that McLagan had messed up so badly. Harry lay there, staring up at the patch of light on the ceiling, his recently mended skull not hurting precisely, but feeling slightly tender underneath all the bandaging.
I could hear the match commentary from here, said Ron, his voice now shaking with laughter. I hope Luna always commentates from now on. Loser's lurgy.
But Harry was still too angry to see much humour in the situation, and after a while, Ron's snorts subsided.
Ginny came in to visit while you were unconscious, he said after a long pause,
and Harry's imagination zoomed into overdrive, rapidly constructing a scene in which Ginny, weeping over his lifeless form, confessed her feelings of deep attraction to him while Ron gave them his blessing.
She reckons you only just arrived on time for the match. How come? You left here early enough.
Oh, said Harry, as the scene in his mind's eye imploded.
Yeah, well, I saw Malfoy sneaking off with a couple of girls who didn't look like they wanted to be with him, and that's the second time he's made sure he isn't down on the Quidditch pitch with the rest of the school. He skipped the last match too, remember?
Harry sighed.
Wish I'd followed him now. The match was such a fiasco.
Don't be stupid, said Ron sharply. You couldn't have missed a Quidditch match just to follow Malfoy. You're the captain.
I want to know what he's up to, said Harry. And don't tell me it's all in my head, not after what I overheard between him and Snape.
I never said it was all in your head, said Ron, hoisting himself up on an elbow in turn and frowning at Harry.
But there's no rule saying only one person at a time can be plotting anything in this place.
You're getting a bit obsessed with Malfoy, Harry. I mean, thinking about missing a match just to follow him.
I want to catch him at it, said Harry in frustration. I mean, where's he going when he disappears off the map?
I don't know. Hogsmeade,
suggested Ron, yawning.
I've never seen him going along any of the secret passageways on the map. I thought they were being watched now anyway.
Well then, I don't know, said Ron.
Silence fell between them. Harry stared up at the circle of lamplight above him, thinking. If only he had Rufus Scrimgeour's power, he would have been able to set a tail upon Malfoy. But unfortunately, Harry did not have an office full of Aurors at his command. He thought fleetingly of trying to set something up with the DA, but there again was the problem that people would be missed from lessons. Most of them, after all, still had full schedules. There was a low, rumbling snore from Ron's bed,